Well, welcome to CCF Church Online on this Memorial Day weekend. My name is Rick. I get to be the lead pastor, and we really are thankful that you're here. But we hope that you're just not here and watching. We hope that you really will take the time to connect with us by using that connection card link on whatever platform that you are on. But most importantly, because we not just want to connect with you, but we want to know how we can serve you, whether that's through prayer. On that connection card, there's a way for us to pray for you. And in that connection card where there's that word prayer and how we can pray for you, put in there if you have some kind of practical need that we could come alongside of you and serve you in that way. We would love to do that. That's the heart of our church. In fact, that's part of our mission, is to serve others, and we would love to be able to serve you. So let us know by filling out that connection card, or you can just use the keyword pray and text that to 401-496-9710. And then when you get that reply, again, just do the same thing and let us know how to pray or how we can serve you. Now, I'm sure that most of you have heard that the governor has told us that churches can start reopening on May 31st. And as our elder and our staff team has continued to pray and think this through and on receiving the specific guidelines on this past Friday, you will, if you were to look at those, you would soon come to the same conclusion. There's no real way for us to be able to meet immediately. So we need to really think this through, and we don't know when we're going to open back up. We're going to take this literally week by week and see when we can and when what will work for us. But we are meeting with all of our ministry leaders on next Sunday night on May 31st. We're going to be on a Zoom call with them, and we're going to throw out a couple of ideas to them, and we want to hear their feedback and what they're thinking as well. And we are working, though, on a plan to be able to reopen when it's safe to do that and when it makes sense. Because right now, if you read through those guidelines, everything that you actually miss about church can't happen. There's no high-fiving anybody. There's no hugging anybody. You know, there's no grabbing coffee. There's no standing around having any kind of communication with people because you're all masked up, and you have to be 6 feet apart from each other, and our lobby just won't handle that. So just bear with us as we work through this, and I trust that you will. Thank you for praying for us, and that we will just follow the wisdom of God as we continue to move forward. Hey, but online church is working. We'll be able to reach many people, and we're so thankful again for all of you who are watching. And we're in this teaching series called Life-Giving Words, the Words of Jesus. And today, I just want us to think about this. Don't you love to be around people who are life-giving? Don't you love to go to work and and everybody tends to gravitate towards that person who just seems to exude life? They're just life-giving. There's something about them. When you go hang out with people, you want to be around people who are life-giving. I mean, none of us sign up, do we? None of us sign up to be the person that sucks the life out of others. No one wants to be that person. No one wants to be the person when your name pops up on their phone that the first thought in your mind is decline, because what you're thinking in your mind is, oh, I just don't have the emotional energy to talk to them right now. They just suck the life out of me, right? No one likes that. No one wants to be like that. We desire to be around life-giving people. I want you to watch this movie clip with Will Smith in it. Here, you'll see that Will Smith is this survivor in the middle of New York City of a man-made plague. And as he is trying to bring some kind of normalcy to life, as he's looking for other survivors, he walks into a video store. Remember those? And as he walks in there, he's trying to engage in a conversation.
Promise my friend that I would say hello to you today. Hello. Hello. please say hello to me. Please say hello to me.
You see, you can dress them up. You can talk to them. You can make them look all right. You know, you can make them look like they're near human. But there's no life on them. Just because you dress them up the right way, just because you do their hair just the right, you can put the right lipstick on and have the right eyelashes on there, right? It doesn't make them alive. Life doesn't come from the outside. Life comes from the inside. You know, you can even dress it up, a mannequin, to make it look spiritual. You can put a spiritual t-shirt on it with a positive message that, hey, we're for Rhode Island. I mean, you can make her look really spiritual and put a You Matter card in her hand and make her look spiritual. But that doesn't bring life to her. That doesn't make her come alive. Life always comes from the inside out. And we wanted today, we want to look at the words of Jesus that are life-giving, because we know that he has life-giving words. And here's what he says. Jesus, these are life-giving words. Jesus says, practice and obey whatever they tell you, but don't follow their example. Now, let's think about that for a second. How is this life given? We're going to unpack that. We're going to see that. But here's our bottom line today. Living from the inside out leads to a life-giving posture. Living from the inside out is what leads to a life-giving attitude. It's what leads to a life-giving response. And you and I would both agree, we want to be life-giving. So how do we do that? How does this happen in our life? Let's take our scriptures. Let's take the Bible. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 23. No matter how you open up your Bible, if it's hard copy or if it's electronic, open that up. I want you to see these words of Jesus, these life-giving words. And as we read this, Matthew chapter 23, keep this in mind that Jesus is literally just a couple of days away from going to the cross. He's just a couple of days away from laying down his life for us because out of love, because he wanted to serve you and I. And as he does this, he gathers this large crowd and he speaks into the crowd. And here's what he says. And then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, the teachers of the religious law and the Pharisees are the official interpreters of the law of Moses. Or in some of your translations, it may say, or sit in the seat of Moses, which just means that they have the authority to teach the scriptures. Now, here's where these life-giving words come into play. So practice and obey whatever they tell you. Practice and obey whatever they teach you from the scriptures, but don't follow their example. For they don't practice what they teach. So we see two aspects to these life-giving words. The first one is practice and obey. And the second one is, hey, don't do how they live. You know, don't follow them in how they live out their life, because they're not practicing. They're those people that say, hey, do as I say, not as I do, right? That's what we say that about people. But I want to go back and think about this idea. What does it really mean to practice and obey? What does that actually look like? I mean, here, what Jesus is doing, he's telling us that we need to dig into his word, that we need to ingest his word, if you will. And we need to take it in, because his word is the active ingredient, if you will, that brings about change on the inside, and then it produces something on the outside. You see, the Pharisees were all concerned about the outside. They were all concerned about the right hair, the right lipstick, the right shirt, you know, the right look. And they totally were missing the heart of the scripture, and that is to let the scriptures change you from the inside. You know what the author of Hebrews says? The author of Hebrews says, for the word of God is alive and powerful. There's that idea that God's word is an active ingredient. You know, if your doctor tells you that you need to take omeprazole because you have a hiatal hernia, Well, that happens to be me. And so when I go home at night, I have to take omeprazole. And I just can't rub that on the outside of my skin and think, oh, that's going to, you're good. You put it on the outside. I can't tape omeprazole on the outside of me. I can't dress up in omeprazole. You have to ingest it. When you're feeling achy and you take ibuprofen, you just can't rub ibuprofen on your skin. You have to ingest it. You have to take it in. And that's what we have to do with God's word. It's sharper and it is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit. Now, did you hear that? See, that this mannequin, we can dress it up to look, awesome. But there is no soul in spirit, because life comes from the inside out, not from the outside in. And that's what God's word does. It comes inside of us, and look what it does. It challenges us in our thoughts and the way that we think. It says it exposes our innermost thoughts and our desires. And that's where change has to happen. It has to come from the inside out. So here's my challenge to you. If you are new to the faith, if every Christ follower should be doing what we call daily devotions. If you're brand new to the faith, what you need to be doing is reading daily God's word. I know for me, that's in the morning. That's the best time for me. Maybe you're not a morning person, so maybe morning is not the best time. But sometime throughout the day, you need to take the time. You need to pause, and you need to have daily devotions. And when you do that, this is pretty simple, right? All you have to do is you pray. And before you actually open up the text and you read the text, you just say, God, will you please teach me? You ask the Holy Spirit. You say, Holy Spirit, teach me to pray, or teach me to understand what I'm going to read. This is the first step in opening your Bible. You're asking the Holy Spirit to teach you, because that's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's one of his jobs, is to teach you the scriptures. And then you read the text. Whether that's a couple of verses, it's a paragraph, or you read a whole chapter, do something that's doable. Take it in small amounts to begin with. You read the text, but then you have to do this. You have to ask, well, how do I apply what I'm reading? And if you do that over a period of time, I'm telling you, it won't be about the outside anymore. Your change will start from the inside, and then all of a sudden, the outside starts changing. Why? Because that's what God's word does, because the Holy Spirit's going to be teaching you as you read the text, and you will respond to the text by bringing your desires, your thoughts, and your attitude into alignment with God's word. Now, maybe you're a little bit more mature or older in the faith, if you will. And maybe the next step for you around ingesting God's word is taking this step and doing what they call inductive Bible study method, and which basically just makes up of three questions. And I think you need to write these down. So if you don't have anything to write something down with, find something real quick or pull out your phone and type this in. But there are three questions when doing an inductive Bible study that you need to have to be a part of this Bible study method. And the first one is you're just asking the question, what is the text saying? What you're in asking that question, you're trying to discover the who, the what, the where, the when, the why. You're just observing what is going on here in the text. The next question that you need to wrestle to the ground is, well, what does it mean? Meaning this, what you're trying to do is to understand the context. So this takes a little bit longer because, if you're like me, I just don't hold on to all the biblical history that's out there. I don't even understand it. I have to go and look it up like all the time. And I want to give you two websites that are very helpful for that, that are free. These are free resources that you can get online. One of them is called the BibleGateway.com. And on there, you can type in whatever passage you're reading and then pull up free commentaries to help you understand the background to what you're reading. So that's BibleGateway.com. But the other one that I personally love is BibleHub.com. The reason I love that is not only do they have commentaries and all that on there, but they have the Greek words where you can actually see in the original languages and how these words are translated and how and what they meant, the different meanings that they carry. And I find this to be very, very helpful in really understanding context when you're reading. Again, we're talking about understanding the context of what you are reading. It's like, why would Jesus talk to the Pharisees in this way? What's the context in which he's talking to? And we're going to see that in just a minute. But here's the third question. The third question that you need to ask is, what does this mean for me? That's the application part. You and I cannot forget the application part. See, this is what happened to the teachers of the religious law. This is what happened to the Pharisees. They forgot about this section right here. They forgot about, they were so focused on the information. They were so focused on the outside that they never applied it to them, and it never brought transformation to them from the inside out. In fact, here's what Jesus would go on to say about the Pharisees. He says, these Pharisees, these teachers of the religious law, they crush people with unbearable religious demands and never lift a finger to ease the burden. You know, God gave the Ten Commandments. They turned those Ten Commandments into 613 laws. And then from those 613 laws, they had subpoints, multiple subpoints for each one of them. That's what the Pharisees, that's where they got this wrong. They forgot about the whole application about it, and they just started caring about the outside. Do you know that when one of the Ten Commandments is to observe the Sabbath, not to work on the Sabbath, that you and I, we were created to unplug at least one day a week and just rest. Rest in God. Do you know that the Pharisees had all multiple subpoints, multiple rules, these burdens that they would put on there? One, they would say, oh, if you take X amount of steps, then oops, that's work. You couldn't write over X amount of letters, or all of a sudden, oh, that's work. I even heard a modern day Pharisee who was trained in modern days, in our time. And I heard him say this. He said that the Pharisaic law that he was taught was that when you get out of bed, you have to put your right shoe on first and then your left shoe, and then you go back and you tie your right shoe, and then you go back and you tie your left shoe. What? What does that have anything to do with, you know, your walk with God? It has nothing to do with it. But see, that's how these Pharisees, these teachers of the religious law, that's how they got off course. Because they were so focused on all these outward things that they forgot what matters the most. And that is when life transformation happens with God's word working itself from the inside. And this became unbearable. All these rules and these regulations, it was crushing on the people that they were teaching. And so Jesus said this to the Pharisees. If you slide down or in verse number 5, it says, everything that they do is for show. Jesus tells the crowd, he tells the disciples, he says, everything that they do is for show. It's all for the outward appearance. It's to make them look like they're spiritual. It's to make them look like they care about other people and hand out You Matter cards. They do that on the inside. All the while, the inside is nowhere near God. You see, Jesus says this. He says, on their arms, they wear extra wide prayer boxes with scripture verses inside. Now, just stop and think about this. To be fair to the Pharisees and the teachers of the religious law, if you go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, that's where this idea comes from. But to show you what they have done, they've taken something that God had given to Moses, where Moses was trying to use an analogy, he was trying to use a metaphor, and when Moses would say, you need to take these precepts of God, you need to take God's law, and you need to write them on your forehead, or put them on your forearms. Would you know that the Pharisees took that literal and somehow they thought that that was going to make them more spiritual? And here's a picture of a modern day Jewish person who is practicing what they have been taught, taken from Deuteronomy chapter 6. And you see these little boxes up there? These are these prayer boxes. And you see how they've tied them onto their head. They've tied them onto their forearm. And somehow they think that that is going to make them more religious or more have more piety. And did you see in the text the way Jesus put it? Jesus says, you know those Pharisees? They put extra wide, you know, by all I can think of is, you know, the extra large Kleenex boxes, right? Walking around on your head like this, you know, and I mean, it's like, come on, that doesn't do anything about changing the inside. That doesn't change you from the inside because of what you put on the outside. God's word is an active ingredient that you ingest and that you allow to bring transformation when you're sitting down to read God's word and you say, God, what does this mean for me today? How do I change my living, the decisions that I make today based upon your word? That's ingesting the word of God. He goes on just to describe how the Pharisees were all about the outside. He says they loved to sit at the head of the table at banquets, in the seats of honor in the synagogues. He says they loved to receive respectful greetings as they walk in the marketplaces and to be called rabbi. You know, they were so concerned about their piety that it actually turned into being prideful. And I wonder how many Christ followers have fallen into the same trap. That when people see you, they think that you have set, that you're so far out of touch of reality, or that you put off this persona or this posture, the way that you carry yourself, is that you're so much better than everyone around you. And maybe you've begun to believe that, and it's become pride inside of you. Well, here's the truth about that. Living from the inside out doesn't bring life. It's actually life-taking. You know, when we're trying to look a certain way and we want everybody to think that we are a certain way, we want everybody to think that we have this or that we can go there or that we are, you know, this, that's actually life draining. That drains the life out of you. That will suck the life out of you when you live like that. And not only will that take your own life, your own just emotional and physical, because you just can't keep up. You can't keep up with the facade of pretending like, oh, everything is going great. I'm the best cook. I'm the best mom. I'm the best employee. I'm the best employer. You just can't keep up. That's life draining. It actually takes life out of you. And Jesus says, don't live like that. That's not life-giving. In fact, he would, in verse 13, if you slide down in your scriptures, in verse 13, here's what he would say. He would turn and he would look at those teachers of the religious law. And he would look at those Pharisees. And he would say, what sorrow awaits you. Because when you're so focused on the appearance, when you're so focused on the outside, when you're so focused on making sure that you always have the right word to say, when you're so focused on making sure that you're driving the right car, that you're living in the right neighborhood, when you're so focused on having the right salary, when you're so focused on having the right boyfriend or the right girlfriend, when you're so focused on that, that is actually life draining. And that's not going to bring life to others. Because at some point, people will see right through that. In fact, Jesus just calls them out, and he calls them hypocrites. He says, you are just role-playing. You're just playing a part. And then he says that you, looking at these religious teachers, these teachers of the religious law, looking at the Pharisees, he says, you have shut the door of the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. You've like literally slammed the door in their faces. Jesus tells them that. Why? Because they were so focused on the outside. that people thought, I could never attain to that. And they put an unbearable burden upon them. And I wonder how you are. I wonder the way that you respond. Do you respond from a posture that's life-giving in your own home? Do you respond from a posture that is life-giving with your own kids? Do you respond from a posture that's life-giving in your neighborhood? Do you respond from a posture that's life-giving when you're standing in line at Home Depot just waiting to get in the door, wearing a mask? Do you respond from a posture that's life-giving when you see something on social media that you totally disagree with? Do you respond with life-giving words or from a life-giving response or a life-giving posture? And when we don't, and people know that you wear the name of Christ, I wonder how many doors have been slammed in the faces of people because of the way that you are responding. CCF family, I'm talking to you. I'm talking about the way that we are responding to others who have different ideas, others who have different beliefs. How are you responding? Are they actually seeing Jesus in your response? Or are they seeing somebody who's just angry? Are they just seeing somebody who just slams the door of the kingdom of God in their face? I challenge all of us in this time particularly. And again, I don't care what political side you're on. I'm talking to both sides and everybody that's in between. The way that you respond matters. And you and I, we better respond. We need to respond. And Jesus is calling us to respond from a way that's life-giving. I hope that you'll take that challenge. But notice what Jesus tells these Pharisees, these teachers of the religious law. He says, you won't go in yourselves. He looks at these teachers of the religious law and he says, you're so focused on trying to be so good that you've missed the whole concept of grace. You are so worried about dressing up and looking like and being the part and looking like you're so religious that you've missed heaven yourself. You've missed the heart of it all. The heart is a relationship, not religion. The heart is relationship. I wonder, do you have a relationship with God? Do you actually, can you call him your heavenly Father? Are you trying to bear the weight of the burden of trying to earn God's grace and God's mercy? Because you don't earn God's grace. I don't earn God's grace. No one can earn God's grace. It's a gift. And it's free. And it's a gift. And it's free. It was free for you and I, but it cost Jesus his life. Here's the way that Peter put it. When it says he, that means Jesus. So Jesus personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we could be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds, you are healed. Are you tired of carrying the weight? Then this very first next step is for you. It says this. It says, pray for me. I feel like I have been carrying the weight to be right with God instead of trusting Jesus to be right with God. Is this where you find yourself? Man, I hope that you will let us know. Again, you can do this by texting the word trust. If you just text the word trust to 401-496-9710. And if you'll reply to that link that is sent to your phone and let us know, we have gift for you. We have a Bible that we just want to talk you through this and make sure that you understand what it means to trust Jesus and not to carry the weight. We'd love for you to respond to that today. And then for every Christ follower who is watching, for every one of you, I wonder if somehow you've gotten sidetracked. There's no doubt there were teachers of the religious law that started out on the right path. There's no doubt there were Pharisees who started being a Pharisee because they had this zeal for God. But somewhere along the road, they got sidetracked. They all of a sudden got turned about how the outside looks. They're more worried about that than what the inside looks like. And you know what? I fall into that temptation. I can fall into that danger, and I hope that you'll pray for me, and I'm asking you, hey, will you let us pray for you by responding on your connection card to this? Pray for me. I haven't been living from the inside out that leads to a life of a giving posture. Oh, may you and I start living this way. May you and I, of those of us who say we are followers of Christ, may you and I be able to respond in this pandemic from a life-giving posture. I hope that you and I will, and I hope that as a result, that the spiritual climate of Rhode Island would radically change one person, one community at a time. I want to pray for us this morning. Will you bow your heads wherever you are? Unless you're driving, don't close your eyes, but will you bow your heads with me? Father, we come to you this day, and we say thank you for taking and bearing our sin on the cross so that we don't have to carry that weight anymore. And God, we thank you that your grace is new, your mercy is new every morning. Thank you for that. And now we are praying for those who have never experienced this life change from the inside out. Will you bring that life change to them wherever they are, wherever they find themselves? Jesus, please bring life change from the inside out to each and every one of us. And may we be a church family that responds out of a life-giving way, out of a life-giving posture. Jesus, do this work in all of us, I pray. In your powerful name, amen.